You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In Ted Mooney's latest novel, The Same River Twice, a Parisian clothing designer named Odile Meville has taken on a new project, smuggling Soviet-era May Day banners out of present-day Russia. Everything goes well until Odile's partner disappears at a customs checkpoint and Odile returns home to find her Paris apartment ransacked. Although nothing has been stolen. The New York Times reviewer raved that readers must often choose between literary fiction and commercial fiction. Ted Mooney proves in this nuanced literary thriller it's perfectly possible to find a novel that has it all. It's published by Knopp, and I'm very pleased that it brings Ted Mooney to our show today. Hello.
Thank you, Leonard.
So what is Odile Meville doing when we first meet her?
Well, she's living in Paris with her husband, who's an American filmmaker, independent filmmaker, as she is an independent clothing designer, which is a way of saying they are always raising money, always short of money. And while her husband, Max, is in New York visiting his daughter from his previous marriage, she gets an opportunity to act as a courier going to Moscow to pick up some objects which will later be sold as art objects in Paris.
Does she speak Russian?
She does not.
That would make it a little difficult, wouldn't
no,
it? Or does everybody speak French?
People speak English.
The first image you present of Odile is her far outside her element. Do you want readers to think that she's a spy in the first few pages rather than a clothing designer?
Not at all. I never set out to write a thriller, in fact. The incident that you just described is something that happened. Someone told me about it.
This really is based on something that has occurred.
I think that what I learned in writing this book, and as you know, writers write books in order to figure out what they think, is that there is a vanishingly thin line between the ordinary law-abiding citizen and those that they regard as criminals. Here was an opportunity to earn some money, and she did it. Things like this happen every day, and it's a matter of whether you are a person who's going to see them or not.
Well, why must banners be smuggled out of Russia now that the Soviet Union is no more? This is taking place.
It takes place
in the late 1990s, a little closer to the—
It's Yeltsin, when things were really out of control. In fact, there was no law, basically.
So the Russia you described still sounds semi-Cold War-ish.
It's still got, and in fact, you know, Russia is Cold War-ish now in many ways. But that was the particular period in which Russia was most out of control. I mean, literally, you would see armed personnel carriers in the street for sale. Things like that.
For sale.
In traffic.
Well, if you could take an armed personnel carrier out of the country, how come you couldn't take a May Day flag out of the country? Odile is afraid that she might be caught
there
and executed.
There are very, very, very strong patrimony laws, cultural patrimony laws in Russia, and they were in place at that time also, which makes it a very severe crime to take artworks, things like that, or icons out of the country.
So she buys 30 banners for $50,000. That's a lot.
She's given a stake of $50,000 by this American who works at the French branch of Sotheby's, which itself is a recent innovation. The French did not use the major auction houses. And he develops these flags as artworks, which is not at all an implausible thing. I mean, I've been in the art world for 34 years now, and I'm sure you and I could hit upon a plan to develop something into a lucrative art object very quickly.
Well, you were a senior editor at Art in America for over 30 years. So this sort of trade actually does take place?
Well, it's important to remember that the four largest unregulated markets in the world are, in order of volume, arms, which one would suspect, drugs, which one might suspect also, art, and number four, but rising with a bullet, people trafficking. And the reason art is in there, and I've run into this so many times in my life in the art world, is it is an ideal way to launder money. And I've run across huge schemes.
Hmm. Well, there's an interesting moment when Turner, the American who hired Odile to retrieve the flags, is reading a review of the gallery where they now hang. It says the flags are the work of a New York artist.
Yes, that's the kind of thing that would happen in the art world. I mean, there are always rumors about what's being done and who is up to what and why. And in fact, the dealer, the way that Turner causes these banners to appreciate in value, first he has them shown at a friend's contemporary gallery in New York, where he has already arranged for them to sell out at a certain price. And then these people who bought them donate them to major museums, getting a tax receipt in exchange, which validates that price for those flags.
Would they be more valuable if they were copies made by a Western artist than if they were the real thing?
It's impossible to say.
Being appropriated by a Western artist?
It's utterly up to the skills of those manipulating the scheme.
But there is an irony here in the fact that these emblems of communist Soviet Union are being used for blatantly capitalist purposes.
Yes, I tried not to dwell on that because I thought it was quite obvious, and I didn't want to.
You don't want to point fingers at things like that, but
yeah, it was a period when, in the Soviet Union, I mean, as one of my characters says, and this also was a direct quote from someone who had been in Moscow at that time, the police are not police, the thieves are not thieves.
This is not your first novel, but is this the first one that you actually draw upon all your experiences in the art world?
No, I think I've put the art world in small pieces in all of them, but this is the one where I focus the most on it by a long shot, I think, yes.
This is also about this is about a lot of other things. This is, as we said, is not just a thriller. This is about people dealing with their sense of identity, what they want to do as artists. There is a whole bunch of different things here that I assume were the things you really wanted to talk about.
Well, there are many levels on which the book, I hope, works, from simply the thriller level, as it now seems to be called, to many others. But I think what I was most interested in was I will say this about the art world and this book. I know for certain that much of what I observed and brought into this book is the result of my learning how to see in the art world. And most people think that because sight is such a rapacious sense, you're constantly, your eyes are open and you're bombarded with images, that it's very easy to see. Not at all. You have to learn to do it, and unless you're very lucky. And the way to do it is whether you're standing in front of a medium-level artwork or a street corner that you're interested in, you have to absolutely purge your mind of words, no words whatsoever, and then just look for quite a long time. And then you will see how the constituent pieces of what you're looking at fit together or do not. And after that, you'll be able to see the thing you're looking at whole. And then you can let words back in, and they will be the right words. And if you do that, you will once you have this habit, you see things that other people simply never see because it gets in the way of their routines, and it would be bothersome to notice them.
My guest is Ted Mooney, whose latest novel is called The Same River Twice. It is published by Knopp. Odile's husband, Max, the filmmaker, has kind of dropped working on a commercial film with a young starlet of some repute, Isabel H., attached to it. And now he's been doing his own version of a kind of a cinema verite film. And in one scene, Odile goes to see the Maltese Falcon and gets lost in the film, but also realizes that that thriller has some connection to her experience, but also that's that's invention. And her life is a little different. This thriller that she's involved with is a lot more complicated.
That is very well said, and I thank you for noticing that.
So this is about truth and art.
Truth and yes, truth.
And people always used to question whether cinema verite could be really true. I mean, it's named cinema truth, but the fact of the matter is, just by editing and structuring
things,
anything
can be done with an image now. You can't speak of an image as proving anything to the point that they are seriously considering in the legal world eliminating eyewitness testimony as important testimony. In the case of the movie that Max makes, the cinema verite, it coincides with some of the things that are happening in Odile and his lives. And the rumor it becomes quite successful. The rumor develops that he actually had edited it in three different ways that are completely different films. He never denies this, and it's true or not true, as many things in the book, you can take them either way. But after that, as the narrator says, things were never the same.
You said that you didn't set out to write a thriller. When did you realize you were writing one? Because it does have all the elements of a thriller, including a very evil guy and all sorts of other things.
I didn't at all think of that until I asked a friend of mine, a Brazilian friend, to read the first 100 pages. And she said, so it's a kind of thriller, right? I thought, my God, what have I gotten myself into? But I wanted to move quickly. I wanted the reader to be occupied, any reader to be occupied while I injected what I had to say at deeper levels. I mean, you have an obligation to the reader to keep them turning the pages.
Let's talk about your title. It's from the Greek philosopher Heraclitus.
Yes,
it's part of a larger
saying. He famously said he's a pre-Socratic philosopher who believed that everything was flux, everything was change. Fire was the constituent element of everything, and he famously said, "You can never step into the same river twice,"
which is true.
Which was meant. Yes, the water will never be the same. It's always coming by. And it has the subtext that you, too, are like the river. You know, your cells are being replenished. He didn't know about cells, of course. But you are no longer the same person as you were when you stepped in the river before. And in my book, there is the hint that not only can you step in the same river twice, but that's all you can do. It's just that you will never notice it.
But Odile, who starts off as one kind of an innocent, turns out to have a very different kind of experience of life as a result of all of these adventures.
Don't forget that the way Max and Odile met was that she, very late after the clubs had closed downtown in Soho, he hears staccato high heels running after him, calling him by a name not his own. And she slips up to him, takes his arm, and says, please, may I walk with you? This man who's following me is very bad. And that's how they meet. And he takes her to an outdoor place, and they smoke cigarettes and have a drink. And the implication is, and it's followed up a few other times, that she had been caught up in something very dangerous then, and that he got her out of it.
Now, I mentioned earlier that you were at Art in America, the wonderful art magazine, for 33 years. That magazine has gone through some changes. Are you still writing about art?
Actually, I very rarely wrote about art, literally. I was an editor, which in the art world can sometimes mean that you're writing the article, but not always. One of the things that I learned, because I edited literally thousands upon thousands of reviews of art exhibitions and articles, is that there is about a 10% overlap of people who can see and people who can write. And for an art magazine, it's best to get the ones who can see and teach them how to write, because it's much harder to teach a writer how to purge the words and see.
Well, it is difficult often to put what you see into words, and that's why so many people who've written about art have been poets, because
that's
they have found some kind of a way of making those connections, those visual
art
to the
in
verbal.
America grew out of the old art news, which my supervisor at Art in America, Elizabeth Baker, knows so much about the art world. If she ever speaks about it, many people will be upset. Maybe
she's writing a book.
She'll never do it. She hates to write, and she doesn't tell secrets. Nonetheless, Art in America grew out of the old art news, which the editors were John Ashbery, Tom Hess, and Betsy. She was the junior, you know. And then the magazine was bought, and they were thrown out into the cold. And I'm not quite sure how Betsy got to Art in America, but she only preceded me by about 7 months.
The Same River Twice is Ted Mooney's latest novel. It is from Knopf. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.